Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the latest round of carbon tax increases has seen petrol and diesel increase in cost by 2.5 cents a litre. From next May then, the tax increase will also affect coal, gas, home heating oil and briquettes. Well, our reporter Maura Fay spoke to some people in Drogheda who were filling their fuel tanks, and Maura asked them if the carbon tax increase was impacting them.
I mean, yeah, because obviously I work and there's nothing really in the budget for people who work at all. So, you know, like, and I have quite a way to work, like, I'm out in RD, so driving in there every week, it's a small car, but it's like 60, 70 euro a week, and now that's going to go up. And, like, I live at home, like, I can't even rent my own home, like, I don't even have the money for that, and now it's more money on me, so it's not good. It doesn't feel good seeing the money go out.
To be honest, no, it doesn't affect me financially, but I can understand people's frustration with it, though, absolutely.
It's just not a significant increase enough to impact on your finances, is it not?
I'll be honest, no.
It's too much. It's way too much. Because the cars, I mean, the car has to be in a... It's a utility thing, it's not a luxury. So it's too much for on our shoulders. No, I'm not agree with that. And those money doesn't go in something which you can see where the money goes. It goes somewhere in our other different pockets. This is my opinion.
Is it affecting your day-to-day spending?
Oh, definitely. As a family, yeah. Because I'm dropping kids, I'm going to work, grocery, and it's feeling those money go somewhere else.
Well, it will impact me because everything just keeps going up all the time. I just go to the school and back and around the town, but it's very expensive. So, like, if I pay 10 euro for petrol, I get less than 5 litres now. So, yeah, it does. It all adds up.
Well, it is, but this is my wife's car, which is diesel. I drive electric, but I just have it for the day. But living so close to the border, I think I will be going across the border now to fill up with diesel. Because I see diesel down there at £1.25.
Do you think the carbon tax has influenced you to go electric?
It did, yes. I bought my second electric car actually this week, so certainly it did. I use it for work.
Do you think your wife is going to go electric?
She possibly may take the second electric car this week, yeah, so we may have to sell our diesel.
It does. I have a family of five. Every one of us have a car. And that extra piece on top of our bills every week now, it'll hit us hard.
Part of the idea of the carbon tax is to encourage people to use public transport.
Unfortunately, where they are, it wouldn't work. Yeah, they're just off the beaten track. By the time they would get connections to Dublin and buses out to where they go, they'd be there quicker in the car, even with the M50.
Maura Fay there speaking to people in Drogheda. Well, let's get more on this now. I'm joined by Barry Ward, Fine Gael TD for Dunleary, and Pather Tobin, Aonthu leader and TD for Meath West. And Pather, you say the carbon tax increases just should have been paused. Why?
Well, first of all, the government took 4.1 billion euros in fuel taxes last year. That was the highest level of tax on fuel ever in the history of the state. And it happened in the jaws of a cost of living crisis. And, you know, the carbon tax ended up at over a billion euros last year. So we know that carbon tax is a blunt tool. It hurts the poor. If you're poor or you have a low income, you will spend a higher proportion of your wages on energy and heating, and therefore on carbon tax, than people who are up on upper incomes. So this is, in many ways, is a reckless tax. Now, we're also told that the government want to change behaviour with carbon tax. They say they want to increase the price of fuel so that people move away from carbon fuels. But the fact is that many people simply don't have a choice. So I'm from Meath, for example. We've been crying out for a rail line in Meath for the last 20 years. The government so far have refused to provide it. You know, tens of thousands of people in Meath would ditch the car tomorrow if there was a public transport option for them. So the government is using a stick to get them out of the cars in terms of the carbon tax, but won't provide the carrot of the public transport facility to actually get them to use public transport. And it's the same in terms of, you know, people wanting to get solar panels. It can cost 8 or 9 or 10 grand for solar panels. Deep retrofitting is 20,000-30,000 euros. Many people, especially in low incomes, can't afford that.
Yeah,
they don't have a choice to move away from carbon taxes.
Can we just be clear on this, though? Can it be stopped? Because this all stems from the Finance Act in 2020, and it just rolls on, doesn't it, Pather? How would it be stopped?
It does. Like, this is another reckless element of this. So the government basically locked in carbon tax increases for 10 years. Now, the idea that any government would put in a tax 10 years in advance without even knowing the condition of people in that year is bananas. Like, taxes should be designed on the basis of where people are at, their needs at a given time, and the conditions that they experience at a given time.
So it can't be stopped.
It can be changed, but it can be changed, but they need to change the law.
Okay. All right, let's hear from Barry Ward. It's bananas, Barry.
Well, no, I don't agree. I mean, the reality is we have to deal with carbon emissions, and this is part of a long-term plan to bring us to 2030 to do that. And it is incremental over time, and as Heather said, it was put into law in 2020 in the Finance Act to do exactly that. But the size of the carbon tax as a proportion of the cost of fuel is tiny, and in fact a much bigger impact on the cost of fuel has been fluctuations in the international fuel markets and the wholesale price, and that's what has made fuel expensive. But what's really important is that the carbon tax that is on fuel at the moment that is gathered, and it has increased by a little over 2 cents a litre in this budget, that is the very money that is going to help the people pad this talking about, helping people with retrofitting of their homes, particularly people in the lowest income brackets, particularly people in social housing. It helps with also the social protection payments to help people with the cost of energy. Funds the National Retrofit Programme. It helps residential and energy efficiency payments, green farming initiatives to the tune of €143 million. So this is actually a progressive tax. It has been deemed as such by the ESRI, and it's not just the government.
But
people are using the fuel.
But in suggesting that it's helping people who can't afford to change how they heat their homes, for example, are you also suggesting that the people who are paying it, that it's a luxury for them to put fuel in their car to get to work? You know, it doesn't really work, and that's not what people see. They have no choice in many cases but to use petrol or diesel to get to work.
I totally accept that, and I also accept that we haven't done enough in terms of providing rural transport alternatives for people, but that is something that's built into the Rural Development Policy 2021-25, the Rural Future document, which is 150 commitments that will implement those changes for rural transport. That is fair, absolutely, but that is a temporary situation. What's most important about this money is it's part of our commitments to reduce fossil fuel emissions by 2030. We have to do that in accordance with European law. This is one of the ways in which we're doing it. But most importantly, that money is ring-fenced for initiatives that actually take the burden off people in terms of the cost of energy and heating their homes.
Well, from that point of view, Pather, maybe it does make sense, because we know we're facing fines if we don't hit our emissions targets, you know, and we've got to address this, as painful as it might be.
I think anybody driving to work today and seeing what's happening in terms of data centres and AI on energy consumption in this country will be amazed by Barry's statement there. 22% now of meter electricity in this state is going towards data centres, one of the highest levels in Europe, and AI is going to accelerate that. It feels like the climate change crisis is for low-income families, but not for AI giants who are massively increasing consumption. And, you know, the government says, well, we're taking this money and we're going to spend it on people who need it. The government are banking €10 billion of a budget surplus this year. They don't need that. And if you actually look at the retrofit systems that they're saying that they're actually paying for at the moment, the retrofit process is actually stalling. Like, we're talking about 22,000 people reached the gold standard for energy retrofitting this year. It's meant to be 100,000 a year. If the government continue at this pace, it's going to take 70 years for them to provide that retrofitting. So what the government is doing is they're providing the stick first and they're promising the carrot down the line. See, and that's completely unfair.
So are you
Put
saying
the alternative
that,
there at the...
Okay. Are you saying, though, if this carbon tax is bringing in an additional €121 million next year, should the tech companies be paying that rather than people who are buying petrol and diesel?
Well, I have no doubt. Right now, what's driving energy consumption increases in this country are the tech companies, the data centres and the development of AI. That is the biggest existential threat there is right now to climate change. It's not Mary and John who are driving from their house in a car, in a petrol car, trying to get to work or heating their home with fuel at the moment. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is this, is if you're going to try and use carbon tax to change people's behaviour, to make sure they use alternative sources of energy or public transport, provide that first before you bring in the stick
beat
them out of
their car. Father, did you hear the man in Drogheda there speaking to Maura? He's after buying a second electric car now for the household, and he's moving away from diesel altogether. So it's achieving, in some way, what it set out to achieve.
I probably, at a certain income bracket, it may be achieving that issue, but the problem is on lower income brackets, it's not achieving that change. And the second thing I want to say is, if you really want to change people's behaviours in terms of carbon fuels and electricity, why don't you actually accelerate the gap between the two? But the fact that electricity is also increasing in price in this country at a fierce rate. We're paying the highest level of price in electricity in the whole of the European Union. Mm-hmm. Ideally, if you want to change people's behaviours, you would potentially increase carbon fuels, but you would also decrease electricity so people... It's more attractive for people to make that change, but that's not happening.
Barry, I have a question here for you amongst many comments that are coming in. Why is carbon tax not on jet fuel? And that's a reasonable question to ask, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I think the primary reason is a policy decision that we are an island. We rely on airlines to get goods and people in and off the island.
But so people rely on their cars too, Barry. You know, I have somebody here who has to go from Naas to Dublin and they say Naas to Leopardstown.
Yeah, I accept it already that is a problem. But as you've mentioned, there are certain people who will make the choice, for example, to buy electric cars. Not everybody can do that. But the very people who are not expecting to buy electric cars will benefit from other ways in which this ring fence spending is put to support them in terms of initiatives. But can I just come back to something Pather said? Because he is basically saying that the data centres are an existential threat, to what I'm not entirely sure. But that is a different... Electricity is different from fuel that we put in our cars. And this is... It's a policy decision to say it should not be less and less expensive, for example, to choose petrol over electric or diesel over electric. But it's not really... I mean, the amount of money you're talking about here is not going to have a massive burden on people. I accept that fuel is expensive. Most of my family live in rural areas. I know how expensive it is to get around, but it's not because of the carbon tax. But what the carbon tax is a measure in which we can take some of the cost of fuel and we can redistribute it into people, the very people Pather is talking about, to help them. And can I say this? I agree with Pather in relation to the cost of electricity. I'm deeply uncomfortable with how much electricity costs in this country. I don't see a justification for it. And I don't understand, when 40% of our electricity is generated from renewables, how the providers can continue to argue that they need to have an increased cost of electricity. I don't think it's justifiable.
Well, there doesn't seem to be anything you can do about it, because the minister brought the companies in and nothing happened as a result.
Just in terms of that, first of all, the way renewables are priced at the moment is it's tracked with
gas.
It's tracked with the issue of gas. Yeah. So therefore, if gas goes up, you still have to pay really high for renewables. So that's a ridiculous track, because it actually penalises people in the long run.
All right, listen, I have to leave it there.
Independent energy regulator, he needs to deal with it.
All right, well, listen, I leave it there for now. We'll come back to it, no doubt, again. Thank you both very much for being with us. Barry Ward from Fine Gael and Aon Thu's Pather Tobin. Now, next up, Shane Bergen on his brand new book. It's called The Experimenters. He'll be here next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.